accession number 29042, Mr. Jack Holliday, Reel 3. Now, so what happened then? You move up. What are you moving up with?
Well, I say we moved to Bergen op Zoom, reformed.
And what do you remember about that move? Was that?
That was all right. Nothing happened. There was very little action down that area at the time. And then we relieved another battalion of the Manchester Regiment who were at the 53rd Welsh, along the front of the Rhine, along the Elbe. And we relieved them. And that was our kind of next platoon. We were more or less on night, patrols and making sure the defence line.
Now, what rations were you issuing? I don't know whether you can remember. What food? What the? Were you using?
Well, we mainly got what they call a 14-man compo pack.
Now, what's in that? Can you explain the compo system?
The compo pack consisted of so many tins of, say, meat.
What types of meat?
Well, it'd be either stewed meat. Sometimes you got corned beef and cold beef. They were all different varieties. There were letters A, B, C, D, E, I think. In each box had a different type of menu. And that was the awkward part, because if you had to start splitting them up at all for any reason, you had to make sure you'd got the same packs. Otherwise, you were going to get custard for one thing and fruit juice or something for another lot, you see. So they were all different. You had to do it. And then you took them up. I had a company, a colour sergeant, of about 120 men. So you did two 14-man packs. There were about 28, and that was issued to the platoon. And they sorted it out with their own little cook and that kind of thing, wherever they were in. So my job was to go and collect this, and stores, but if I wanted, I had to go back to battalion headquarters, because they stayed back and we moved forward. Any boots or shoes, anything like that, wanted a pair of changing or wet, anything that in that side, I had to supply and find out where the company had moved to and take rations up to them. And then next day, the same procedure, go and draw rations from the dump and go forward, find out where they'd move to again from battalion headquarters.
Now, who were you with at this time while you were quartermaster sergeant? Is this when you were with B Company?
B Company.
That's who you were quartermaster sergeant
for.
And what vehicle would you have? Would you just have a truck?
I had two three-tonners. One for rations and food and clothing, and one full of jerry cans of petrol.
So you had to do petrol as well?
Mm.
Anything happen? I mean, you were driving around on your own most of the time. Anything happening? Well, would you have a co-driver or driver?
We had a driver. I had a driver on each truck. Oh, we occasionally got to... Well, it was a case of... after the Rhine crossing...
Hang on, we're not at the Rhine crossing. Yeah. So, you went to Bergen op Zoom, and then where?
And then we went to... gradually moved across Holland... as a defence, and then attacks, and then.
How did you get on with the Dutch civilians?
They were quite all right. The Dutch civilians were, yeah.
Did they give you any?
We don't know.
No trouble.
We never were quite friendly, most of them. Well, I think it was a case they had to be, to a certain extent. They couldn't do much about it. We were there, and that was it.
Were they pleased to see you when you got there, or?
Yes. Yeah.
And so you're moving across Holland. Anything happened that you remember?
Not really. I mean, it was a case of taking it in bounds, infantry were in front of us with support groups. And as they took an objective, they moved forward again,
Were you ever, were the German Air Force about? That's something to worry
about.
Not
a great deal, no.
So what's the next thing you remember? You're moving across Holland.
Well, we moved up. On one occasion, which stands out in my mind, they'd move that fast after the Rhine crossing.
So what about the Rhine crossing first? What do you remember?
Well,
we were
put on the defence in position with my Vickers machine guns on this side of the Rhine, you see, dug in. So when the actual crossing took place by the infantry, we were given covering fire till they got established as a kind of a bridgehead over the other side, and then pontoon bridge things, and got the traffic moving after them then.
And what was it like crossing the pontoon in trucks?
Well, I went across in a truck when the bridge had been established, you see.
What was it like going across a pontoon bridge? Because it's a big river, the Rhine, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not all that big, but we crossed at Wesel. A place called Wesel, it was the Rhine crossing, Wesel. That's where we crossed. It wasn't so bad.
Now, what about...
A bit rockety, you know, but got used to these things.
So what happened when you start? You say it's a very fast advance. You got.
They were so fast that one day I went up to deliver rations, and I couldn't find the company. So I didn't know what to do. So I went back, and the following morning I drew next day's rations, and eventually caught them up, and I'd got to the company, and my company commander gave me a bit of a shuriken because I'd missed the previous day's ration. I said, I didn't know where you were, couldn't find you. So he said he wasn't worried about the food side, because each carrier carried a reserve of food of these boxes, you see. Reopening emergency such as that was, so they hadn't gone short. Well, what he was worried about was the petrol. If he'd have had to move again, he said, given an order to move with the tank carriers, it was practically out of petrol. That's what he was annoyed about. I saw his point after, but I was wondering what. But play called Twisterton.
What were your officers like? What did you think of your officers?
In the majority of cases, very decent. Very rarely you didn't get a good officer. Not in action, anyway.
What was a good officer? What made an officer good? What did you look
for? I think it was ability to lead. Men appreciated anybody who showed the signs and quality to mix a bit with... Well, not mix, but to be sociable to the men and that kind of thing. And mix with them occasionally when you're in there, you know. You just got the odd one, but...
And what was a bad officer like? What wouldn't...
Well, you got one or two... Well, I'm saying, we only experienced it once. I shouldn't say this, but... I think he got a bit of a scare on himself, the officer. You know, and instead of... If you got in a farmhouse, you'd be in the cellar. And that kind of thing, you know. Little bits of things like that. But in general, he was there, but...
Just lost his...
I mean, everybody behaves different in action. Or when you've been in action, you're inclined to behave differently, I think.
Did you come under fire during this period? I mean, I can't judge it from what you're saying. I mean, did you come under sort of artillery?
When he used to go up with Russians, when they were on the Rhine, when they were dug in on the Rhine banks, I used to have to go forward to the bank to distribute ration. And there was a broken down bridge where I had to cross. And I think they'd got a Dornier, an 88, you know, not a Dornier, 88 gun, Jerry, and our forecast on this. And we used to always get two or three when we were crossing this thing, but, 20 yards away, but they never got a direct hit. But we knew we were going to get it there. That's another thing you get in action, I find. Going to Belgium, into Breskins first, into Balkan. You wonder what your first time it is. You wonder what's going to happen. You get nearer and nearer, the rumble sounds louder, then you get the gunfire, and you think, oh, what am I going to do now? But after about a fortnight of that, it comes second nature. You know, your attitude changes. You don't get that frightened feeling. You just behave like a soldier, you know. What's expected of you, but the first time I found that was it. In your own mind you think, gosh, what's going to happen now, you know, how far do we go and this kind of thing. But then I say after 2 or 3 weeks or less, you get so used to kind of gunfire knocking about and shelling that it just grows on you. You're set in nature.
Now, what was happening when you moved into Germany? Very fast advance. Did you see much of the German civilians? What was their attitude?
Very few. They moved out. In fact, you could go into some farmhouses, and we went in one, and the breakfast was still semi-warm on the table. They'd just packed in breakfast and gone, moved out.
So you didn't have much contact with them?
Not then. Not during the war, no. Not in the action part.
Now, any other instances? You're moving fast through Germany.
Oh, we finished up in Bremen.
Now, anything before that? Anything on the way?
No, out? It was just a case of fast movement because, I say, Germans had no defences then. Everything had gone. The troops were just advancing as fast as they could go, and any pockets of opposition were left, and you know somebody else cleared them up, but the forward troops just went and went and cleared all the docks at Bremen then.
So you went to Bremen.
Bremen.
And what was the situation in Bremen? What was happening?
Well,
it's about the time of the surrender,
I mean,
isn't it?
People were starting to realise, you know, that it was the war was practically over, and they were just taking it calm. We never got any trouble from them or anything. But I'm surprised that some of the age group of the German soldiers, though, they were kids, really, some of them, when we got to Bremen.
Now, was that where we were at Bremen when the surrender, you know?
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
What do you remember of the surrender and VE Day celebrations? Were there any in your area?
No, we didn't do anything, really. I say we were, there were three divisions, 51st Highland, 52nd Lowland, 53rd Welsh, and the three divisions finished up over in North Germany, Holland, and apparently we were waiting to go and major attack onto Hamburg. And next day they said, you're not going, it's the war's over.
How did you feel about it? I mean, you've been in it for
it's
6 years.
It's a funny feeling, really. You think, well, what do we do now? It's a bit of a funny thing. But and then I say you got carried on with your normal duties, guard duties and that kind of thing after. You didn't do much.
And were you just living in Bremen, or did they move you out?
No, they moved us out from Bremen. We finished up on this side of the Elbe, near the Russians were on the other side. And we did a bit of defence sorting there, and you didn't do much at all. After guard duty and all that.
What do you mean, bit of defence? What do you mean, sorting?
Well, you had to patrol and make sure everything, you know, we got one area where there were people who were going into their own farms and stealing cattle and pigs and things, and Robert just, you know, for food. He had to kind of keep a police console over that type of thing. You know, just wireless sets used to, what we did, we'd station a wireless in about three different farms in three areas, and so they were in contact with one another, and if anything did happen in that way, they could get on the phone and wireless area and tell what was happening and where. I mean, that was mainly doing. Otherwise, it was just a case of police in general.
And what was happening with, was it non-fraternisation? Was that still going on?
That started, you couldn't even speak to them for about a week or so. And then they lifted that, saying you could talk to them, but outside, you couldn't enter the premises. And then, more or less, it was lifted altogether, the ban, and you would just open after a while.
Was there any black market in your area?
A little, yeah. People taking tyres and things like that, but not. I didn't experience a lot, but I know it went on.
Now, what were you doing? You were just running your stores, I suppose. Were you? You were just acting as CQMS.
Yeah, CQMS there, and well, we just came back from this area, more or less a rest camp. holiday place, you know, where the troops had it easy all day after. And that's when I got made WO2 in 45. As soon as the war was declared, finished, we had a very old sergeant major who was a pre-war regular. So naturally he was one of the first handfuls to go, and I got made WO2 in his place then.
Now, what did that mean? What WO2 was
company sergeant major.
Company sergeant major?
Yeah.
You actually acting as company sergeant major?
I was a company sergeant major at the end of the war, 45.
So not on the Q side, but actually a company sergeant major?
Yeah.
Now, what did that mean?
What did it mean?
Yeah, what was your job as company sergeant? I know you're not at war, but still a responsible
position. Well, it was controlling your company through your company commander, whatever he wanted, you know. He had to kind of see it done. And a bit of training, drill, back to drill again, and he had more or less keeping the troops occupied more than, you know, just giving them something to do, guard duties, and then...
And what about the sergeant's best? Had they established one there?
He had started to get them going a bit, yes.
And what was your sergeant's mess like?
Well, it was quite good. You know, he'd probably take over some pub or something like that and make it a sergeant's mess. And
was there much drinking? Was it a hard drinking mess or...?
Fair. Well, I think all there were. But I wouldn't say scandalous, but everybody had their share, put it that way.
What would you drink? What was the drink of choice for? What did you drink?
Beer mainly, but...
Not whiskey then?
Oh, whiskey, yes, as well. We could get to any spirits. In fact, even during the war, I think we got an issue of a bottle of whiskey and half a bottle of gin per sergeant.
A week?
If it was available.
A month.
Week or something like that. I'm not sure.
I forgot to ask, you're a company sergeant major of B Company.
Yeah. No, I went to C Company, so I went to colour sergeant. When I got made sergeant major, I went to C Company.
Now, what about, how did you get on with your officer, you're the major commanding the company? Because that's quite an important thing. Do you remember who it was?
Yeah. He was an ex-tea planter. He'd been in the Indian Army. Ooh, what was his name?
What was he like?
He wasn't bad. He wasn't too doing right. I think he... To be quite honest, I don't think he really wanted me there. He was inclined to want somebody else in the job, but I got the position.
Why didn't he want you though?
Pardon?
Why not you though? You were an experienced NCO by then, weren't you?
Oh yeah, it was his attitude, I think, more than anything else. He'd something went on that I think he was trying to promote somebody else in C Company. And when I got moved there, I think it put him back a bit, really, for what he was trying to work out. This is the impression I got, and it didn't last long anyway. He was soon out, you know, but otherwise, when I first went there, he was a bit awkward with me, or I was not his type or something, I don't know, but... I got on all right after, but not with him.
How about the colonel? I don't know.
Colonel was all right.
What was his name?
The end of the war. Oh, I don't know. I forget his name now.
All right.
He stayed in. He got killed in Korea or somewhere after.
Now, what happens next then? I mean, you're in this rest camp. What's going on? Nothing much.
Nothing. And then we came out of that, say, when we put in billets, guarding other things. We keep, you know, kind of semi-police job, more or less.
What type of thing? Internal security, as they call it?
Yeah.
And anything happen?
Not particularly, apart from what I mentioned, the people raiding farmhouses and a bit of looting and that kind of thing, you had to try and stop. But as regards... anything kind of serious, that, you know, offensive to you, I've found but nothing of it.
So what happens next then?
Well, I got demoted.
Now, when were you demoted?
March 46, I think it was.
So you stayed out in Germany right till March?
Yeah. I went to the 7th Cheshire's.
When?
They disbanded the 7th Manchester at a place called Holsterhausen.
When was that?
That would be about the November. No, we had Christmas there. Be about the January 46. And up to 26 group, age group, you know the groups, they allocated a group to come out to get involved. When 26 group had gone, what they said was they disbanded a lot of units, 27 and 28 groups would be attached to local units who were being kept regular, and the rest would go to our regular battalion, which was made the 1st Manchesters in Germany. They took over the role of the regular unit then. And I went to the 7th Cheshires for the last 3 months of my service abroad in Essen, with the 7th Cheshires.
And how did you fit in there after all this time?
Well, there was so little going on. I mean, everybody was just what you call demob happy, just waiting for their turn to come at the time.
So there was no duties particularly?
Well, only ordinary normal guard duties. And
were you a company sergeant major? Or?
Yeah.
And what did you think of the Cheshires compared to your own unit?
Oh, quite good, but we didn't mix with them properly. See, they were detached. There were a lot of billets were in Essen itself, and I was sent to a barracks, Cray Barracks on the edge of Essen. And I say it was so little to do that you just fatigues and all that during the day and a guard at night.
Now tell me about your demobilisation. That's March 46. What was the actual procedure? We talked about how they took
you. Just told you went, got in the truck, say 28 group are going now, load up on the truck. You were taken to somewhere in Belgium, another kind of place that was made a depot. Probably changed your money back. What money you'd got into English money or and everything, and you just stayed there. Then you moved on to, I went down to Cali, and we lined up in a big transit camp there. You stayed in there and lined up and went on the boat and home. Then when you got to wherever, Dover, there was trains, one for Manchester Northwest, one for various areas, and you just got on the train and went home. And then they went to Ashton, and you demobbed, you know, kind of kit-handed in and everything.
Did you get your demob suit?
Yes.
What was it like? People always joke about it, but what?
Well, it was I got a grey with an inch wide stripe down. And they weren't bad, but
Did you wear it much? You know?
Yeah. They were fitted out in. I think I went to Ashton. Ashton outside Manchester finished up actually when they had the kitted out then, you see. I think you're allowed to keep your grey coat or something.
Now what were you going to do when you came out? I mean you'd been in the army for 6 years, 7 years.
I went back to the company, they had to re-employ me. Well, part of the wartime thing that was, you were re-employed by your company. And so I went back there and I stayed there till.
Now, you'd gone out, I mean, when you joined up and when you left them, you'd been a lad. You'd been, what, 18 or 19? Not much more than a kid, really.
Yeah.
And you came back as a company sergeant major with a lot of experience.
Yeah.
I mean, did they take you in the same job or did they promote you? Or how did they handle the fact you weren't the same person?
Well, you weren't on your own, put it that way. There was quite a number of people who had been in the same position as I was, and come back, so you just kind of had to get down to it and
so you were
do
actually
your work
same,
again.
You were on the same job. They didn't promote you.
I was moving into a clerking job at the time, and it was only later I got this kind of. I was moved to under manager of this mail and teleprint, and then when he retired, what was I doing? Something. I took over then, and I stayed till. What did I do, 63 and a half to 71, 80, I believe about 85, 86 when I finished, no, 87 when I finished
So that was your career. Now, did you have any trouble getting back to a civilian lifestyle? Do you know what I mean? You've been in the army all that time. Did you have any trouble getting used to civilians and the civilian lifestyle?
Not really, I didn't. it was a bit of a change, you know, from not getting up and revally and that thing like that. But after, say, a couple of weeks, a month, you were back to your real routine because you were living at home with your family or something like that, you know?
So you had no real problem with it?
No.
Now, the other thing is that you rejoined the TA. Now, can we talk about that?
About two years later, I was approached by the quartermaster from here at a reunion, and I'd served with him during the war. And he said, "Are you any interested in coming back in the TA?" And that's how it started. I came back.
Now, why did you? You still did. What made you decide to go back?
Well, I think I still felt the life was interesting. You know, there's something in the life, rather than just hanging about. And I got married and as well, so. But, I say, it was quite nice.
So, which battalion did you rejoin?
Came here, to the 8th Battalion.
That's based at Ardwick Green Drill.
Yeah, it'd be about 48. And then I stayed till 71.
Now, can we talk a bit about that? Because that's a long time to be in the TA. What was your job? You came back.
Well, I originally came back as a colour sergeant, a quartermaster. And I only did about 3 months.
Now, what was a quartermaster? I can see what the quartermaster does in a regular battalion, you know, or rather a
sergeant. Oh, right, yeah.
What does a territorial colour sergeant do?
Well, you did more or less the same job at camps, you know, but mainly you looked after the money. You did a pay parade and all that every month, or if anybody wanted any kit exchange or something like that, you had to see to that, you see.
Now, what was a pay parade like?
Quite good.
How did you organise a pay parade then?
Well, they just call them out, alphabetical order mainly. You know, he called and he signed what they called an acquittance roll with your money that you were drawing, signed for it, and the officer paid you out. But you were paid in the TA those days. Whatever rank you held, you got the same equivalent pay to a regular soldier for each day. So if you did a weekend trading, Saturday and Sunday, you got that 2 days' pay as a sergeant, or whatever you were. Or what the basic rate of a sergeant, say. No increments or anything like that, but doing. Yeah.
Now, how did you manage your kits? I mean, you had to replace people's kit. Did you have a store of kit here?
Yeah, there was a big store here full of.
Where would it be? What stores did you have?
Down here? Oh, you had suits, KD, battle dress, boots, shoes, everything practically, and kit for doing, you had a full store of it, and armoury.
And where would you indent to get it from? Just, you know, you had it here, but where
the quartermaster, he got it from wherever base you had to get
it. That was his job,
wasn't it? His job, yeah. With the regular, they also had a regular soldiers attached to you here. Certain number of regular NCOs were allocated to help us as TA units. In fact, your WO1 always had to be a regular soldier, serving regular soldier. That's why you couldn't get WO1 as a TA man.
Now you didn't do that for long. What was your next job?
Well, yeah. I did 2 years.
You did 3 months as
CEO. Oh, I got made back to Sergeant Major.
And what?
Headquarter company. I was a Sergeant Major of Headquarter Company for, practically all my life hereafter. 71.